Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 367, and we shall continue with Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 23. At this point, Moses is telling them they're about to enter the land and to be careful about idol worship, because that was generally their downfall in many ways, and that's our downfall to this very day. Anytime we set our heart on something else than God or His law or commandments, that's our idol. You see, idols come in many ways, many forms. People think, well, today we're modern people, we don't bow down to idols. Yes, we do. You see, an idol is something that you look for to fulfill your needs. You look to fulfill your needs, that is. You see, anything. It could be. It could be drug addiction, could be alcohol, could be sex, could be money. You see, things, materialism, people. You see, the organization, leadership, government, or whatever it may be, that's your idol. That's why to this very day, when you read all the prophets, God talks about the fact that He's going to remove the idols from the land, because there are still many. You see, a lot of people don't understand what was idol worship all about. Now, we're not that stupid to think that, you know, a little thing that they create with their own hands can bring them deliverance. That was symbolic, you know, the spirit behind it. They were actually worshipping demons, as God made it plain in different ways. And people do that to this very day. People are going to sell their soul to the devil, so to speak. And that's the only way they can get what they want, when they do not want to do it God's way. And so He's warning them, don't do it. He says, take heed unto yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which the majority of Israel had done. You see, and to this very day, even the majority of God's people, those who call themselves God's people, those who claim, well, we have the Holy Spirit, or we, you know, we walk in God's path, so many of them have contempt for the law of God. They don't want to hear it. You know, just talk to me about grace and faith and joy, and I want to have experiences, you know, with God, and I love God so much and all that, but hey, don't talk to me about the law of God. I hate it. You see, they may not say it that way, but they have resentment for it. And this is not where you see them spending their time. As God commanded us, this is the book of the law. On it you shall meditate day and night. This command has never been changed. And it is for that reason that Christ would tell people who would come at the end time, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? You see, He's going to tell them, in spite of all the good deeds that you have done, I don't even know you because you are lawless. You abhor my law. And that's where you find out the majority of the children of Israel. And that's very unfortunate, because it's going to bring them an awful lot of horrible afflictions and sufferings far beyond what they're already going through today. And so He says, you better, you know, be careful not to do any of those kind of things. When Moses gave up to his anger, that became his idol. You see? And then he spoke to Israel instead of just striking the rock, and that was his downfall. He could not enter into the land. And God was not about to forgive that sin that he committed there. He was very furious with him and Aaron. He said, you have rebelled against me. You did not believe in me. So what is it that they believed in? What is it that Moses said at the time? Shall we, you rebels, he told Israel. God didn't tell him to talk to Israel. Of course, they are rebels. He says, you rebels, shall we? What do you mean, shall we? Now, Moses became the idol, his own idol. And if that's the way Israel perceives it, they begin to worship Moses, not God. You see? So he knows exactly what it means to be idol worshippers. And so he warned them, don't do that. Any one of us, you know, is capable of that in any given moment. Every time, you know, we do evil instead of good, you know, we sin against God. That's because we have an idol. Secret idols, whatever they may be. Verse 23 again, he said, take heed unto yourself, lest you forget the covenant of the Lord your God. The covenant forbade any attention on our part to be given to any other thing, any other source of whatever need we have than Him. You see, that's the essence of the covenant. I am God and there are none else beside me. And so he said, don't forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which He made with you and make you a graven image. And the only reason why they would make a graven image, because, you know, they have needs. They don't go with God. They do not obey His laws, His commandments. So they're not being blessed, you know. They have all kinds of needs, whatever it may be. We went through that in detail earlier. Well, we have explained the nature of idol worship. And so that's the reason why they're going to do it. You see, they take the eyes off God, and people do it to this very day. And so don't do that. Even the likeness of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. You see? And throughout the history of Israel, that was the case until this very day. And it is from that point of view, this is the context and the background to all the statements that God made, that to people who have lost their sanity, their spiritual sanity, they don't understand what He's really talking about when He says, I am God and there is none else beside me, neither on earth or under the earth or up in heaven. You see, He made it very plain what heaven is talking about. He's not talking about the throne of God. He's talking about the stars and the moons that people worship because, you know, the sun gave them life, so they worship the sun, and the moon gave them light, and on the belief their ancestors, you know, became stars as they would go up to heaven, and they're there, shining, brilliant, and to this very day people have those fables. You see? And if you do not understand the context, in other words, a lot of people read the words of God, but they do not understand what He's saying. And they base their faith on that, on misunderstanding, not on understanding. And so about 2,000 years ago, when by that time so much darkness descended on the people of God, you see, as we read in Isaiah 6, a while back, and Isaiah 29, where God told Isaiah, you go blind them because, you know, they have chosen rebellion, they have chosen idolatry, they have chosen their own ways, they have despised my Torah, including their priests, well, for their own protection, their own safety, otherwise I'll have to hold them responsible and destroy them totally from under heaven. So put them on the shelf, conclude them in unbelief. They still retain a measure of knowledge and understanding. After all, anybody who reads the Bible is going to understand certain things, you see. But other things he's not going to understand that may be very critical. And this is one of major aspect of it, understanding the nature of God. And they lost that ability to understand that, even though the scriptures are there. And they are there to this very day. And so they could not understand at that time, you see, and lost their understanding even much more so after the coming of Christ and his death, you know, and his followers and the people that followed him. You see, the Jewish community totally lost this ability to understand their own scriptures that made it very plain that when God says, I am God and there is none else beside me, He's not talking about the other being, because all along the other being is introducer in many, many, many scriptures. Beside all the hundreds and hundreds of scriptures that talk about the coming of Christ, you see, the Redeemer of Israel and the sacrifice. But there are so many scriptures that make it very plain. You know, the angel of the Lord, the captain of the Lord of hosts, the angel that delivered the fathers, whom they made very plain, is also God, Elohim, Jehovah, you see, but not the El Elyon, not the Most High, not the one that became His father. And those scriptures were there all the time. And when He came on the scene, still many Jews retained that knowledge and information. But as time went by, when they totally rejected Christ, well, blindness became even much thicker. And then they began to pass on that ignorance from generation to generation. And, you know, they go to the scriptures and say, well, you see, this is what it says in the Bible. I'm God and there is none else beside me. So many statements. Of course He said that, but what was He talking about? That's the issue. And so this is what He's saying here. And don't follow that. You see, obey the voice of God who made a covenant with you. You know, the angel that appeared to Moses in the bush. Angel. Angel means messenger. Messenger of whom? He was a messenger of the God Most High. You see, this angel also introduced himself many times as Jehovah and Elohim, the Rock, Captain of the Lord of Hosts, many things like that. Israel and all the nations of the earth had no problem understanding it, but, you know, as time went by, you know how it happens. A lot of people forget many things, and then they believe lies, and the lies, you know, become truth to them. They call light darkness, and darkness light, and truth they call, you know, lies, and evil becomes good, and so forth, as you read in Isaiah 5. Woe unto them, God says, that think that way, and they do to this very day. And so He says, you better be careful not to transgress this command of God. Because when you do that, everything all else goes by the, you know, by the wayside. In other words, you're not going to have a relationship with God after that, just with demons, and you would not even know it. And that's what basically much of the religions upon the face of the earth, they don't realize who is behind it. Who is behind the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you see, mixture, vomit of the religions. And so he said, you be careful not to do that. And don't do any image. Don't make any graven image. Because there is no life in any of those things that you do. Worship the Creator, not the creation. You see? Don't do anything of the likeness of anything which the Lord your God has forbidden you. He's a jealous God. For he says, for the Lord your God is a devouring fire, as Paul would say later on. Our God is a consuming fire. It is a fearful hand to fall into the hand of the Eternal. And all of Israel are going to fall into the hand of the Eternal, when he told them many times in many prophecies, I'm going to become an enemy unto you. I'm going to tear you to pieces, and nobody's going to deliver you from my hand. I'm going to bring enemies against you to destroy you. The worst of the enemies, the worst of the heathen. And it's going to happen again. One last time, in a much greater way than it ever happened before. And that's what the prophets describe. That's how they describe the trouble that is to come. It has never happened before, nor ever will be. You know, Daniel 12, throughout Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah 30, and so forth, the great trouble of Jacob. Why? Because they have forsaken the Lord their God and worshipped idols, and they do to this very day, and they have their own religions. So our God is a devouring fire, a jealous God. That even when Moses himself transgressed the law of God, he was not going to forgive him for it. So he knows firsthand, on his own flesh, so to speak. Shortly after that, he's going to die because of that. So he's warning Israel, don't do that. Verse 25, when you shall beget children and children's children, and you shall have been long in the land and shall deal corruptly, you know, he already knew they're going to do it in spite of the fact that they're going to enter into the land, and they're going to do it. God told him, when you die, let me tell you what your people are going to do, and they're doing it to this very day. They're not going to listen anyway. No matter what you tell them, that's the reason why people, you know, they have the false prophets among them, inspired by the devil himself and his demons, who teach them these lies. Well, and I forget all about the law. That's old stuff, done away with. And so they believe it innocently. Good people, nice people, people of character that otherwise are very fine people. And they believe all these lies. They really believe that it's true. They've been told that lies are truth. You see, a good is evil, a light is darkness, and the other way around. And they believe it. And so Moses tells them, I know this is what you're going to do, because he knows the devil is there, his demons are there, false prophets are there, and people by nature, you know, hate the law of God, because people don't like to be told what to do and how to live your life. You see, that nature is planted in us from the beginning of life by Satan himself. That makes us contrary and children of disobedience, you see, as Paul would say later on, a son of Israel, you see, a descendant of this very people here. The carnal mind is an enemy of God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And you certainly see it in all the religions of Israel and among all mankind. And so he says, I know this is what you're going to do. You're going to corrupt everything. And you shall deal corruptly and make graven image, even the form of anything, and shall do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord your God, to provoke him. So he said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you. I'm not going to be there, you see. So I call heaven and earth to call against you this day. The very heaven and earth that people worship, stars and the moon and the sun and the things on this earth that people, you know, make graven images to represent. He said, those very things that God created, and in their foolishness, you know, their worship, he says, I call them as witnesses against you. And sort of say, you know, the very idols that you create are going to be the witnesses against you. What an irony. He said, I call heaven and earth against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land where until you go over the Jordan to possess it. Just because you cross the Jordan and I don't doesn't mean you're going to stay alive if you continue to rebel. You see? And so you too are going to be outside, just like I'm outside now. Cannot go in. I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go over the Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it. So you cannot say, well, this land is mine. God gave this land to me. Yes, God gave and God can take also. Just like God gave us life and He's going to take it too if we're disobedient to Him, because otherwise, what value is it for us to have that life just to do our own thing? He says, you shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. God is going to make sure that this is going to be your fate. And people are not afraid of that to this very day. And they still despise the law of God. You see, and because of that transgression against the law of God, God destroyed His people time and time and time and time again. Brought enemies on them, sickness and disease, all kind of accidents. And people in their ignorance and their haughtiness and their arrogance and their presumptuousness that turn around, point the finger at God. If God is love, well, how come? Why did Johnny die and so forth? And they're bitter. People oftentimes who used to be servants of God and that, you know, that take their anger on God, and they don't look inward. And they don't ask, have we been worshipping idols in secret, you know, all kind of idols, doing our own thing, and brought the wrath of God upon us collectively and individually? We don't think like that. We always, you know, point the finger at God and blame Him. You see? And He said, you know, this God is a jealous God, a devouring fire. You cannot mock Him. You see, if you depart from Him and do your own thing, decide to be, you know, just like all the other demons, you know, to whatever degree, you know, you can be good in many other things, and then you have a demonic spirit of hatred against the law of God, the Torah of God, the instructions of God, you're going to be destroyed. It's as simple as that. Verse 27, and the Lord shall scatter you among the peoples, which He did. So He's prophesying here. And you shall be left few in number among the nations, whether the Lord shall lead you away. And that's in the beginning of the captivity. There were not as many as there were in the land, obviously. When you go through captivity, your number diminishes. But after that, when you study history, and also prophecies, God, in spite of that, He multiplied them like the stars of heaven. And they're great and many in number, but again, in the coming tribulation, we have the prophecies and scriptures that tell us that basically they're going to be only about 10%, few in number in comparison to what they used to be. So if you talk about hundreds of millions of the children of Israel today in the United States, now that everybody here is an Israelite, many of them are not, but the ones that are Israelites, you see, from all the tribes of Israel, and in Europe, and in Australia, and Canada, and New Zealand, and South Africa, and here and there, and far in the Far East there, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Uzbekistan, all those states where there are a lot of Israelites. They're Muslims, yes, but they're all Israelites. 90% of them, you see, are going to die one way or the other. And only 10% are going to make it into the land, because even the many that are going to be brought back into the land, not all of them are going to be allowed in. So ultimately, as God said to Isaiah in chapter 6, only a tenth at the end time shall remain of Israel. Now, that's a horrible fate. For what? Because people would rather worship idols. They would rather go their own way and have their own religions and despise His law. You see? Is it worth it? So He said, this is what's going to happen to you. And so, only a few of them are going to remain, if that's the way you choose to go. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone. And they were idol worshippers as they went, and even though they retained a measure of the knowledge of God, and historic documents tell us that still many of them kept the Sabbath and circumcised and kept holy days. And then in the days of the disciples, many of them were brought back to the faith, you see, the complete faith, the purity of the faith, the law of God, the law of Moses. And with historic records, very clear, very plain, you can read them when you go to different libraries. You know, for example, in Ireland, for 1,000 years, when Jeremiah came there after the fall of Judah, he came to Ireland for 1,000 years. It says that the law of God, the Ten Commandments, were obeyed. That's including the Sabbath and holidays, you see, and the law of Moses was obeyed in the kingdom of Ireland. 1,000 years. And the Celtic church, you know, in Scotland, you see, they were keeping the law of God for many centuries until Rome raped them spiritually and imposed its pagan religion upon them and took them away into idolatry, you see, because that's a religion of idolatry. And they are there to this very day, unfortunately. And now and then, you know, the people of Israel are being stirred by the Spirit of God and they return to the faith that was once delivered. You know, not the faith that people think is, but the genuine faith that God revealed from the beginning of time. That's the reason why God says, you know, in Malachi to all of Israel, remember the law of Moses. You see, that's the faith that we talk about. And that's the faith that Jude talks about. Contend for the faith that was once delivered. And people in their ignorance think that, well, he's talking about the new faith, Christianity. He's not talking about that. Jude is a Jew. What faith would he be talking about? You see? He's talking about the faith that was taught at the time. That was taught from the beginning of time. That Jesus Christ said, don't think that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. You see? The faith that Paul taught. In spite of all the lies that people tell about him, that he didn't teach that within the Jewish community and outside to justify their false religions, you see. He made it very plain. The Torah is holy. You see. The wages of sin against the Torah, he said, is death. And John said, sin is a transgression of the Torah. And the people, he said, that do not keep his commandments are liars when they claim that they are his people. All the apostles, all the disciples sought the Torah. None else. But the pagan religion deceived people, just like the rabbis deceived their own people to believe that there is no such a thing as the Most High. And then the angel of the Lord that became, you know, flesh and blood and lived in their midst. Who was their God that brought them out of Egypt, the direct God that dealt with them, Jehovah, who is coming back to deliver them. And in Zechariah 12, you read, when he comes down, then he said, you're going to recognize me as the one that you have pierced or crucified. You see? All of us are guilty, not only them. All mankind is guilty, but, you know, there were at the time, that generation, and yes, it was only a small group that was there. The majority of Jews did not even know what was happening. It had nothing to do with it. You see? But the few, in essence, were representative of all of Israel, and that's the way God worked it out. You know, they didn't do it on their own. God was behind it because God ultimately was the one that had him crucified. It says, you read in Isaiah 53, God, it pleased God to bruise him. What does it mean, it pleased God? Was he enjoying, you know, the pain of his son? No. What it meant, it pleased God, that was according to his plan. In order to provide a redemption for his people. These very people that Moses is talking about. You see, and all mankind also. And so, this is what Moses says. Okay, well, this is what you're going to do. You're going to be idol worshippers. Verse 28, and there shall you serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. You know, which is stupid. Yet, that's what people do. They put their trust in things that cannot really deliver ultimately, things that are corruptible. But is that the end of the story? No. He is describing what is happening now and what is going to happen in its fullness in our age, in our day, hopefully. Verse 29, but from there you will seek the eternal, your God. And those who are going to have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to understand, when they hear the words of the law of the Torah, whoever brings it to your attention, you see, you're going to hear. The two witnesses are going to bring that to your attention in a very powerful and forceful way. God promised to send somebody in the spirit of Elijah to bring the people of Israel to their Torah. To him. To the fathers. You see? And it's only then that the fathers are going to be also turning their hearts, spiritually speaking, metaphorically speaking, also to their children. And that's what Father Abraham was saying, you know, that parable, you know, which really never happened, just a parable, but that's how Christ described it, you know, the end time, when Lazarus and the rich man, you know, are both resurrected and they come before God, and Father Abraham is going to be there. And the rich man is pleading with Father Abraham, please deliver me because he's going to be thrown into the lake of fire and destroyed forever. And Father Abraham said, I'm sorry, I cannot come to you. You see, you don't come to me because you disobeyed the law of God. You rejected, you see, Moses. And so I cannot come to you. So if your heart cannot be turned to me, I cannot turn my heart to you. And that's exactly what God was talking about when he said that Elijah will come and turn the heart of the fathers to the children to the fathers. He's not talking only about the family getting together. You know, that too is a part of it. But the ultimate is, unless we become partakers of the covenants of the faithful Father Abraham, well, obviously, you are not going to have life given to you, eternal life. You're not going to be in the kingdom. And so God, through Moses, tells them, you know, the whole story here from beginning until the end. In essence, he's describing a 3,500-year trek or journey or history of Israel, good, the bad, and the ugly, and good at the end. Verse 29, but from thence he said, you will, not you might, you will. Why? Because God is going to make you, whether you like it or not. He's going to crush you, break you down, destroy your rebellious spirit, and then build you up. And people are going to be crushed. Everything is going to be taken away from them. And he's going to bring Israel to the point, as he said through Ezekiel, they're going to come and get to the point where you loathe yourself, you abhor yourself, all the vomit that you've been swallowing all this time, thinking that you were righteous, when you're filled with idol worship, and despise the law of God, the nature of God, the mind of God, this, and everything that you did, and all of your religiosity, in essence, God calls it vomit. And so God says, that time will come when you will seek the Lord, your God, and you shall find Him, if you search after Him with all your heart and with all your soul. And God made it very plain. How is it that we do it? As it said through Isaiah, seek the Lord while He may be found. How? Let the wicked. The wicked is a person that forsakes the law of God, the Torah of God. Let the wicked forsake his way. And people are going to do it when they are crushed. Not before that. They're too proud to admit that they were wrong, that they were in error, that they are rebellious against the law of God. They're not willing to admit it now, but they're going to be when they come out of, you know, crawling out of their holes. They've got nothing left, nothing to trust in, no idols. All the works of their hands are crushed and destroyed and wiped out from under heaven. They've got nothing. They're destitute. They're sickly. They're wounded. They're bruised. They're in captivity. They're in prison. You see? I'm going to be proud at that point. That's the time when people are going to seek Him. People would rather do things the hard way instead of the easy way, and that's been always the case, unfortunately. And so it says, you're going to find Him if you search after Him with all your heart and with all your soul, and you cannot do it unless you forsake your way and you walk in the way of God. And that was the first step that we had of the series. The way. I am the way. I am the Torah. That's what Moses is all about. That's what God says. Unless you return to Moses and remember Moses, I'm going to bring utter destruction. Not only the 10%, all of it. You see? You're not going to kill only and destroy only the 90%. He says, you know, even the other 10%, I'm going to totally blot you out from under heaven unless you repent, unless you remember the law of Moses. That's what Moses is talking about here. That's been always the theme of this book, from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse of Revelation. And look at all the false religions that came out of this Bible. And that's what God calls all these religions, be it Christianity, Judaism, or, you know, Islam, that came out of it. They're all vomited in the sight of God. Of course, people, and some people will kill you when they hear that. That's how perverted and confused people are. And yet here it is, you know, when you read in the very words of Muhammad, you know, that's very interesting reading for anybody. You see, you should know it likewise, because, you know, you should know what's on the mind of some of your brethren. You see, all children of Abraham. He said very plainly, that, the scriptures were given by Moses. You know, they were given by God to Moses, and the Psalms were given to David, and the gospel was given to Jesus. You see, admits all that, and that he believed in them. You see, and a lot of good Muslims, out there, they have respect. They are decent and honest. They have respect for the scriptures, for Moses and David and the prophets and things like that, and Jesus, called him as a prophet, and Mary, you see. But they're not about to obey it. That's the difference. God is not interested in people who believe. God is interested in people who obey, not just believe. You need both, yes. A lot of people would rather just have faith in God. And James says, you believe in God? That's nice. The devil does too, and he trembles. Big deal. You see? Some people say, well, by faith alone. That's what Luther, was teaching. Faith alone. God says, I'm not interested in that. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Why do you have faith in me if you do not do what I say? So you are a liar, and you are teaching others to lie. And that's what he said, heaven and earth shall pass, but not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the Torah. Don't think that I came to do away with it. Anybody, he said, who is going to teach against it, he's not going to be in the kingdom of God. He's going to be the least to be called in the kingdom of heaven. And yet, most people follow those kind of liars, thieves and robbers of their own faith. Why? Because to begin with, they have a carnal mind that is an enemy of God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So Moses is telling them, the end of the road, you're not going to play this kind of games anymore when you're in tribulation, you see, when you're totally crushed. You're going to seek God with all of your heart. And the only way you're going to find him, if you do it with all of your heart, you see, and with all of your soul. And then in verse 30 he says, in your distress, in your tribulation, you see, in that condition, that's when people say, oh God. Not when things are well and nice, they have no place for God. When they're in trouble, oh God, help me. What kind of a relationship is that? The only time you come to God is when you're in trouble. You see, God is not interested in this kind of a relationship because that's a selfish relationship. You're not really seeking God. You just want to get out of your problems. You want somebody to deliver you out of your misery. You see, you want to save your own hide. You're not interested in serving God and becoming one like Him and having His nature and mind formed in you through His law, His Torah. God does not, that's why God doesn't listen to any people like that. Where is the track record of obedience? It's not there. All of your faith will do you absolutely nothing, as James said very plainly. And that's why Luther, despised that book of James. He called it the book of straw. James said, if you have faith without works, without obedience to the law of God, you've got nothing. And Paul said it too, in other words. You can speak with tongues of angels, and a lot of people like to speak, with all kind of tongues. You see? And you can, give your body to be burned, and you can do this, and you can do that. But if you have no love, you've got nothing. You are nobody. You are nothing. And what is love? Paul himself made it plain, very clearly what love is. Not the concept of the world. The mushy concept, love, love, love everybody and all that. No. He said in Romans 13 and verse 10, love is the fulfilling of the Torah. That's the love he's talking about. And those who call themselves Christians are in darkness. They're blind as a bat. They don't understand that. They don't know that. They're not being taught that by their teachers who are false prophets. All of them, barring none. Even though they know a lot of the Bible, anybody who teaches against the Torah is a liar. You see? That's what Christ said. That's what Paul said. The law is holy and spiritual and righteous. But I'm carnal, soul under sin. That's what John, the apostle of love, was saying. If we do not obey his commandments, we are liars and the truth is not in us. And so forth. And so that's why Moses said, you're going to be crushed. Totally crushed. And all the prophets make that very plain. And only when we get to that point that people are going to rise up from the dust and cry, oh God, help me. You see? And God would say, only if you search for me with all of your being and heart, if you forsake your way, if you admit your error, If you depart from your wickedness of transgression against my Torah, then I will hear you. That's what he's saying here. And in your distress, when all these things are come upon you, in the end of days, that's the time he's talking about in specific, though in between a lot of calamities came upon Israel, and the Jews complained for the last 2,000 years and mourn, you know, and the moan and groan, oh, and all these 2,000 years of misery, of pogroms, of persecution, of sufferings and all that, and it never dawns on them why. As Moses made it very plain, because of all the evil that is in all of us, the rebellion against the law of God and doing our own thing, calling it the law of God, the Torah, our own teachings, our own inventions. Now that everything is evil and bad, because remember, the tree is of the knowledge of good and evil. You see? So let's never forget that. Yes, a lot of good was there in Judaism, but evil too. And that's vomit in the sight of God, and he does not accept it. That's as simple as that. And so he says, when you choose to go that way, and to begin with rejecting their own creator, their own God, their own maker and deliverer and ruler, because they became blind, you see, and what deliverer do they have now? That's like the children of Israel. When they have rejected God, their king, their savior, their redeemer, their Jesus Christ, as Paul said, that's the one that they followed was Christ. When they rejected him and they went after idols, what deliverance did they have at that point? They had nothing but misery and suffering and sorrow. You see? And that's the story to this very day. And God is not a respecter of persons. He is a respecter of person of Moses or Elijah or John the Baptist. You see? He had his head cut off. And when you think about John, what kind of an attitude did he have, you know, before he died? When Christ, you know, he felt, well, and I'm the servant of God, and I just loved God and served God and did all that, and here I'm in prison, and Christ is not delivering me, and he's sending messengers to Christ to say, are you the one, or should we look for another? What kind of an attitude is that? What do you mean, are you the one? He's the very one that baptized him, knowing that he's the Lamb of God. You see what even the greatest man can sometimes do? You see? Moses could enter into the land, and Aaron. Elijah lost his job, was fired in Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, when he came before God because of his attitude, you know, I'm the only one, you know, Jezebel is after me, big deal, so what? God was with him all this time. What happened to your faith, Elijah? You know, things went to his head. God says, okay, that's kind of a, you know, person you have turned to be. I'll give you a couple more errands, and then I wanted to anoint Elisha instead of you. You're out. You see, God is not interested in people like that, regardless of how great, you know, they may be. And so he allowed John also to have that fate of having his head cut off. Even though Christ said himself, of man, of anyone that was born of a woman, there was no one greater than John. Still, God is not a respecter of persons, you see. And all of us must fear and tremble and learn that and not play games with the Torah of God and despise it. And decide in our own mind, well, this is not necessary for salvation. I don't need to do it. So what if I don't keep the Sabbath or holidays or this or that or the other thing? You know, I'm still a good Christian or I'm still a good Jew or I'm still a good whatever. We don't mock God. God is a fire, a consuming fire. And it is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the eternal, the hand of God. And so this is what he tells them here. That when you are in distress, you're not going to be playing this kind of games anymore. You see? And you're not going to go anymore after the prophets to kill them as they have done it for thousands of years. You're going to be so crushed. You just cry, help. I'm willing to do anything. And that's what Moses is saying here. This is the fate of all of us who despise the law of God. We're going to be in that distress that is described in many places. That is going to totally crush the people of Israel and the whole earth. And the whole earth is going to have this attitude. In your distress, when all these things are come upon you, in the end of days, where at that time, the end of time, you will return to the Lord your God and hearken unto His voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God. So in spite of all that, that's the mercy of God, that's the grace of God. Not to rebels. Not to people who say, well, I'm under grace, but I don't need to keep the law. No, God has no grace for people like that. God is going to throw them out. He tells them, I don't acknowledge all of your good works, your faith in me. Get out of here. I don't know you because you are lawless. You're disobedient to my Torah. You see? But to the people who are going to say, help, I'm willing to do anything and seek you with my whole being and heart and forsake my way, recognizing the fact that I'm a wicked person, not a righteous one, not a good person, to that person, God will be merciful. And that's what he said to Moses, the Lord, you know, when he revealed himself and the nature of God. He is merciful, long, you know, he's patient, long-suffering. But to whom? To those who remember me and fear me and obey my covenant. But to the ones who are not, he said, I'm going to persecute them to the third and the fourth generation. So let's understand what grace is all about. It's not a cheap thing that the false religion made it to be, called Christianity. You see? You obey God. You do His will. You forsake your way. You obey the Torah. You will have grace and mercy. You don't, you're out. Dogs are without. He made it very plain. And that's why the church of God, the people of God, the genuine few followers of God are described in the book of Revelation to the end. People who have the faith in God and obey His commandments. Not their own. These are the only people that are going to be there. And so, he says, at the end time, when you're ready to acknowledge your wickedness, your error, you see, God is going to be merciful. God. And He will not fail you. Neither destroy you, that is completely, nor forget the covenant of your fathers, which he swore unto them. What covenant was it? You see, if you obey my laws and commandments, you see, that was a covenant, not a covenant without obedience. You see, that was the grace that he gave them. You obey my law, I'll give you all those things. You don't, I'll kill you. As simple as that. That's the basic message of the gospel. Repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Because if you don't, as he told his own people at the time, you shall all likewise perish. Now, this message is not being preached. Because false prophets are out there deceiving Israel, as they've done for the past thousands of years, to this very day. All that say, Christ, the Lord, Savior, we love Him, we adore You, we worship You, we glorify You, praise song and all that, gospel music and all that, disobedience at the same time. And God is not mocked. And yet people are mocking Him right and left. And the worst ones are the clergy, the rabbis, the leaders of Israel, the spiritual leaders, as they have always been. They're not the prophets of God, they're not the servants of God. You see? As written in Isaiah 8:20, to the law, to the Torah, and to the testimony. You see, the people of God in Revelation are described as people who have the testimony of Christ, of Jesus, and are obedient to the commandments. And so you read there, to the law and to the testimony. You see, if they do not bring you this word or this law, it's because there is no light in them. They are in darkness. They think they are in the light. You see? One of these days, people are going to wake up when it's too late. That's the people who are still left alive are going to realize that, when they could have prevented it to begin with by just forsaking their way before it's too late. And so, God, you know, Moses, you know, God is speaking through Moses here. He's warning His own people. The end time, this is the way things are going to turn around. And God is not going to forget the covenant of your fathers, which He swore unto them. And when He swore, He's not going to change. For ask now of the days past which were before you, since the day that God created man upon the earth, and from the one end of the heaven unto the other, whether there has been any such thing as this great thing is, or has been heard like it. Did ever a people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and live? You see, and that God appeared to Moses as the angel of the Lord. You see, it's the same person. And then He came, the person of Jesus Christ in flesh and blood, same person. And then He's coming back, the same person. And still for 1,000 years, the Father is not going to be dealing with human beings on a personal basis until He comes down with heaven in Jerusalem. And that's when heaven comes down to earth and people go not up to heaven, but heaven comes down to earth. And that's when people are going to go up to heaven, in Jerusalem, on earth. Now look at the lie that has been taught and is believed by all religions on the face of the earth. You see, to this very day. Where did they get it from? Not from the Word of God. Now, we have a special series on that called Hell and Heaven, you see, about 10 tapes that we made earlier. And when we are finished with the series, we are going to tuck it in, you know, the end. And people are not may, you know, that is maybe interested in listening to it now. It's not yet on the internet, but it is on tapes, and they can get it there from the Bible Study Association. But anyway, in the future, that's the way it's going to be. And so this is what God is saying here through Moses. Nobody has ever heard a thing like that. Did ever a people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as you have heard, and live? You didn't die. You see? Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point. This is again Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.